Okay, we're back in session. Sure. Okay. Let me see. The resolution H is under Budget, Capital, and Personnel Committee. Jim Dennis, Chair.
I have it here.
Right.
It's Resolution H, the revised edition endorsing the Connect New York broadband grant application of Clarity Connect Incorporated for the purpose of expanding broadband internet access to unserved homes and businesses in Tompkins County. And I would endorse that. I want to move it.
Thank you, Jim. Seconded by Pat. All right. Discussion. Ready to vote? Dooley.
I was glad that one of our speakers, I can't remember which one, mentioned the topography in part of the southern end of our county. When we put up our public safety communication system, sighting the towers was very challenging, and there were some places that were just extremely difficult to reach. But we weren't able to really tell who could and couldn't be reached until there were some in-depth tests done on the system. For purposes of this application, I do not know whether the same kinds of tests will need to be done to see if these difficult to reach by a straight line areas will have the same problems. So I don't know if anyone can tell me that now, but because I think that's a real concern, the idea that fiber optic system would be a really good supplement for the places that wireless couldn't reach makes me wonder if there is a way to structure this that would fold one of these in with the other on an in-case basis rather than putting in endorsing two separate applications. So I'd like to have that addressed.
Okay, I think I had Pat and then Jim. Did you have your hand up?
I did.
Oh, and then Will. Pat?
Part of the work that has been done in preparation for the grant application by Clarity Dooley has been to do a careful engineering study of that question as to what homes can be reached. And it's part of what was necessary to bring this project to what we call shovel ready, which is one of the things that the state is looking for. So I do think that Clarity Connect has a very exact figure of the homes that they would be able to reach and the ones that they would have to make some kind of accommodation in order to reach. They are talking about some technologies that might allow them to reach some of that somewhat less than 2% of the county that they would still be unable to reach with their typical technology, and they're talking about the possible use of some antennas on homes and so on. So yes, the short answer is they have figured that out in their proposal. There have also been discussions, and I hesitate to say too much about this, but I think it's important for you to know that there had been discussions a couple of weeks ago. This has been a very quickly evolving process, as you may well imagine. And as a result of those discussions, Clarity Connect and Finger Lakes Technology Group have agreed to partner on this proposal. I share your desire to see these three merge into one proposal. And even though the time is very short, I'm not totally ruling out the idea that that could happen. So this is the point that we're at this evening. I can't say with any certainty that that will happen, but I will tell you that this this situation is very fluid and it's been changing almost day to day. I don't think that we can make a decision based on what might or might happen in terms of that partnership, but I'm not totally ruling it out either.
I've got Jim Will.
Well, could I follow? Do you have some language that could be added to this resolution that would indicate the desirability of folding in Heffley?
Without having a clear knowledge of what direction it's going to go, I think that it's possible, since our purpose in doing this is to convince the state that we have the best proposal to try to receive the funding that we're trying to get, I think it would be a mistake to go forward with that kind of language to the state, because it implies that this is not the best proposal that we can put forward. I would prefer to see the proposal, the language, go ahead as it is right now, because I really believe that this gives us the best chance of getting the funding. We're talking about a proposal for three parts of three towns that would include 550 families, give or take, and two out of those three towns have already endorsed the Clarity proposal rather than the Heffley proposal. The Clarity proposal will cover 3,500 plus homes in the county, about 10 times as many as the homes that would be covered under the Heffley proposal. And given the support from those towns that are most directly impacted, I feel that it's a better strategy to go ahead with the language the way it is right now. Caroline Town Board is meeting this evening, and they will be voting, but they haven't voted yet.
I'm going to go to Jonathan, who doesn't raise his hand very often, but I assume he's, I see you, Peter. I assume he's got something directly relevant.
Well, I mean, I can answer Dooley's question about the system proposed by Clarity compared to the county emergency communications system. In both cases, before you build the system, you do what's called a propagation analysis or a propagation study. That's what they have done. Okay. In the emergency communication system, we had what, to test the actual coverage, we had what was called one of many acceptance tests, which I could describe in a sec pretty quickly. But because they're completely different types of systems, the acceptance tests would be totally different. Like what we did on our system is we divided the county up into grids, several hundred grids, and then did a test in each, like one radio test in each grid, and then it had to achieve a certain percentage. That would not work at all in this type of system because they're different types of system. When that system is done, I'm sure they would have some type of acceptance test, but it would be totally different from what we did.
Yes.
Okay, I've got Jim, Will, Pam, Frank, and Peter.
Thank you, Martha. At the committee this afternoon, the three of us had a fairly lengthy discussion out of the 1 hour about this issue of what Dooley has brought up about folding in the other proposal with the Clarity Connect proposal. And my personal feeling was that if we could do something like endorsing both proposals and send that on, the question that I had in the room was, what would that do to the positive effort on both of these proposals? What would that mean to the people who would be funding the grant app, you know, if the county went down the road for both proposals? And clearly you had an answer, other people had an answer, and the decision that we made, the three of us, was we want to put this thing on the floor and let all of you talk about it in the way you want to talk about it. Clearly we support broadband Two, we see the Clarity proposal as a really comprehensive proposal, but we're looking, or at least I was looking, to give Haefeli the opportunity to tell his story, and he did do that during this time, and have his thing discussed, and maybe folded in, maybe not folded in, maybe endorsed, maybe Clarity getting the full endorsement, and we could offer Haefeli something else. So I'm not sure what, but that's sort of where we were in the meeting. And either one of these gentlemen want to characterize it, you know, they should do that.
Okay, first I have to ask, Jim, there's a revised in our folders, and I believe the only revision is adding the special committee on broadband in the resolve. Did I take it that you moved that one?
I'm sorry, say it again?
Okay, in our folders, there's a revision of the resolution, and
right.
It's got, it just adds in the resolve on recommendation of the special committee on broadband,
right,
as well as budget and capital. Is that, I hope, the one you moved?
It is.
Okay, good. All right. Thank you. I've got Will, Pam, Frank, Peter, and Pat.
Thank you, Martha. I would like answers to some questions that have been raised by other people. And I'm going to start with a letter, or an email, rather, that we all received, I think, this afternoon from Sandy Padulka at Brooktondale. She raised basically two substantive points. One about the health impact of wireless, and whether it was her impression that the broadband committee had not adequately addressed that concern. I, for one, feel that the handout we got tonight from the World Health Organization really does, at least in my mind, address some of those concerns. But I am aware that it is a contentious issue and something that people are still not completely comfortable with. So we're not approving this project tonight. We're essentially approving an application. But I think that we should all be aware that concern continues. The second issue that Ms. Padulka raised was one of a conflict of interest, specifically a member of the broadband committee having a financial interest in one of these contracts. I'm wondering, Pat, if maybe you could assure us that, you know, just say whether there's a response to that.
Pat, if you want to respond to both those questions.
Sure, yeah. I can. I'm glad you mentioned the handout that I put in your folder, but in answer to your question of whether or not this was vetted on the broadband committee, let me explain to you, I'll say yes, it was, for one thing, in general discussion, but also the way the broadband committee was organized, soon after we started meeting, we talked about the various aspects of this whole question of how you expand broadband. And we decided at that point that it would make sense to marshal our resources in three different areas, and we formed three subcommittees. One of them had to do with education and awareness. One of them was focused specifically on the technical aspects of how do we get the service out there to people. And as part of that work of that subcommittee, among the other kinds of technical aspects of the question, that was one of the things that they looked at. So as these committees came back and reported to the general committee, yes, we did have that kind of discussion. And that leads me up to the next thing I wanted to talk about, and that has to do with conflict. I hope you'll bear with me. I've got so many papers here this evening. I think it's a legitimate question to ask, but I think that the question reflects not only a genuine concern, but also a lack of information about how the committee not only was formed, but who was part of the committee. The members of this committee were a broad group of people from throughout the county. We looked for diversity in a number of different ways. We not only were looking for people who are potential customers because they lack service, We looked for diversity from various communities, but we also looked for people with the kind of expertise that would be able to speak to the committee around the kinds of issues that we were going to have to deal with. And in line with that, we selected for membership on the committee a number of people who have technical expertise in the field of telecommunications. We had people from Cornell. We had people who were consultants around IT issues. We have people who have worked in this field. We had the person who actually was the author of the Internet for Dummies book, which many of you may be familiar with. So we had a really broad array of both ordinary sort of layperson as well as technical expertise on this committee. And I think it's fair to say that if we had not had someone there with that particular skill set of the wireless perspective, that's a perspective that would have been lacking from the committee. We had lots of people who had knowledge of fiber systems. And even though wireless technology is in use basically all over the world and is recognized in the United States National Broadband Plan as a viable technology to use, we only had the one person on the committee who could represent that particular part of the industry. So if you put that in the context of the breadth and the depth of the knowledge and expertise that we had on the committee, I think that it was a very balanced approach to this question. And I feel very confident that the outcome represents a broad consensus, not simply any kind of pressure from one person or another on the committee.
Thank that. And, you know, I would point out that I've been extraordinarily impressed by the way you have conducted and the committee has conducted its examination of this issue and the extent to which you really moved around the community and held meetings all over the place and been very open in that process.
Thank you.
So I guess I'm reassured. And, of course, it is ultimately a recommendation. We are the body that is making this decision, and I'm not seeing a conflict internally among us. I'm not sure if anybody has that, they will declare it. My other question is sort of, I think, was spawned by Peter, the question that Peter raised several hours ago, which was, are these proposals mutually exclusive, or maybe a variation of that, are they tactically exclusive? If we go one direction, are we essentially making it harder to do the second, or could they both be done?
Would you like me to answer that?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. I think to go back to Peter's question, the two proposals do, as they're presently configured, compete for some of the same customers in those three towns that were mentioned. So to the extent that the two providers could form a partnership with each other, that would make that competition go away, I would think. So I think, you know, that would be a good thing. However, having said that, one of the reasons I wanted to second this motion tonight is because at our special meeting of the Broadband Committee yesterday, we went back and forth on this question for a considerable length of time because we, too, wanted to make sure that we were taking a very fair and balanced approach to this whole question of endorsement. And in the end, what we had to look at was the fact that our decision, we think, will hold sway with the REDC. And we really believe that if we do not give a strong endorsement to a proposal and we simply send it forward endorsing both of these proposals, that it's going to weaken that endorsement. And we do believe, and I'm speaking for the committee here, that the county has a better chance in this whole funding process if we can make an endorsement of one of these proposals. And I would like to reiterate that the Clarity proposal already has the endorsement of six counties or six towns here in the county. It also has a strong endorsement from the Cayuga County Legislature because it includes large parts of Cayuga County. So it's clearly a political decision to recommend that. But the broadband committee had 9 people present and voting yesterday, and it was a unanimous vote in favor of recommending that we go forward endorsing just the Clarity proposal.
Thank you.
Okay, we've got Pam, Frank, Peter, Pat, if there's anything left to say, Jim, Brian, and Dooley. So, Pam.
Well, I still, it's not clear to me why we know that endorsing one will have a weaken that, not, I mean, endorsing both of them will weaken it. I mean, I think we can all offer our opinions, but I don't know that it's real clear. So if somebody has a piece of information that would add clarity to that, I would well, there's a silly word, that I would really appreciate it. But the other thing I just keep coming back to is that it is just, this is just not the best way for this to come out. I mean, they should all be working together. I just it is just too bad. I really feel that we would all benefit from that, and so I just had to express my disappointment that the groups haven't been able to come up with a way to work together. But perhaps it will still happen, but I'm not sure that I can support this because if everything isn't clear, what is going to happen? I mean, I don't know. It makes a difference to me that, I mean, we either should support them both or they should come together, and then I would come back in for a special meeting to pass it so that we are, if they are working jointly together. I know there's been huge amounts of work done on this, and I do not want to weaken this, but the possibilities of this winning are the grant, but this is just too bad. I'm very sorry to see this come to this point.
Well, let me give a stab at the answer, Pam.
Which answer?
About the strategic question of whether to endorse one or two. As a member of the Economic Development Council, we will be asked to rate all the proposals that come out of the Southern Tier. I know of at least 2 other proposals, but they don't overlap. They don't include Tompkins County. One's to the east and one's to the west. There are also, I believe, 2 others that have already been submitted as consolidated funding applications. So there are, at the moment, at least 4 out of Tompkins County that we know of, and the deadline is Friday, so there may still be other applications. Kevin McLaughlin is the executive director. He's the staff person. He's our contact with the state. He's trying to understand how this is going to work. It is really, really unclear how the state is going to do this. We don't know whether they will ask the council to rank these proposals. They might not. Kevin's instinct at the moment is to rate any sort of basically qualified proposal as very high because all of the areas of the Southern Tier region really need this service. Sense is that, knowing the people on the board, that they'll, at the very least, they'll look at me and say, well, Martha, what do you think? You know, if Tompkins County sends a recommendation for 2, they'll look at me and say, well, what do we do with this? You know, what do you think? I would like this body's recommendation of, in a sense, to rank them as, you know, rather than just rely on my own personal view, which I'm happy to tell you, but that's not the point. The point is that this should be a recommendation of the county, and I think it is a strategic advantage based on the way I see the, you know, read the tea leaves, and this is a new initiative from the state. We've bashed Governor Cuomo plenty, but I think this is a terrific thing that he's done to pull $25 million out of this, and they may find very quickly that they ought to triple that amount of money to really do what needs to be done, but at least this is a terrific opportunity. So this hasn't been done before. I'm just giving you my best judgment of the people in the room and the way things are going. I really think we stand the best chance if we come out strongly for one proposal and not try to sort of split the baby here. I think we should make a choice. I don't know if that helps. I've got Frank, Peter, Pat again.
Thanks, Martha. Actually, you began to address one of the questions I had. I've got a couple, but with regard to the proposals and your role and President Scorton's role, have you had an opportunity to talk to President Scorton at all about any of this?
About this set of no.
I mean, I would imagine that he will be as much of an advocate as you will be.
No, I think he will be very judicious and try to encourage, you know, the best chance for all the Southern Tier applications.
Yes, getting approved. What does the county's endorsement of one preclude the other from sending something in on their own?
Absolutely not.
Okay. Now, I have a question then for Pat. Idea about the medical implications, you gave us a write-up in the folders tonight about what the effect might be. Mm-hmm. Ironically, Ted Crane provided us with the same thing.
Yeah, I didn't know he was
going to
do that.
I thought I heard Will say, you know, there's going to be more of a discussion about the addressing the medical piece of this. Do you have any other insight into whether or not, or is there anybody in the room that's qualified to comment on this? And do we have to make that, do we have to make any judgment on that tonight?
You or Jonathan? Do you want to go ahead?
Yeah, I could. We did look at that as part of the environmental impact statement on our system. So there is a section on that in our system. Now, the radio waves that Clarity Connect would use are somewhat different. They're actually weaker, pose less of a, you know, potential threat than the ones we're using. On the other hand, they're somewhat closer to the people than what we're using. We did look at that in our environmental impact statement, and one would think that with the Clarity Connect proposal, given the radio waves they're working with, which are much, much weaker than the ones we are, that it would be less.
Okay, because Will's comment about the email that we all received today, I think we take some of that to heart. Okay, thank you.
Peter.
I've been thinking about this, and it occurred to me while I was thinking about this that this is a classic problem in game theory known as the prisoner's dilemma. And I don't know how many of you have heard that, but it really is a classic problem that people talk about. And essentially, prisoner's dilemma tries to do is to say, how do you make a decision on something important when you don't have all the information? And the way the problem is laid out is that there are four possibilities. You've got two things going on. It turns out which prisoner is going to be let out of jail, okay? And so you've got four possibilities. One is that both will be let out of jail. The other is neither will be let out of jail. And the third is A will be let out of jail, and then the fourth is B will be let out of jail. So it's just like what we got. We've got cable and wireless. Maybe we'll get both. Maybe we'll get neither. Maybe we'll get cable. Maybe we'll get wireless. And the question is, how do we react to those four possibilities? And what's clear to me is that the way you're supposed to look at this is what's the best outcome, what's the worst outcome, what's the second best, and what's the third best. So what's the best outcome? It's clear what the best outcome is, that we get both cable and wireless. What's the worst outcome? Well, we get neither cable nor wireless. Then the interesting point, those are obvious, but the interesting point is which is better, wireless but no cable or cable but no wireless? And the other thing is that this is extremely important. This is not just a trivial question. This is really important. And listening to this, it's absolutely clear to me that the second worst outcome is to get cable and no wireless. That would be a disaster, okay, because of the number of people involved in something important. And therefore, what it seems to me is that we have to avoid no wireless, the last two. And therefore, the right thing to do is to vote for only the wireless. That the additional advantage that we'll get for getting both is not worth the danger that we'll lose getting the wireless. So that's my analysis of the problem. And I realize that there are no way of evaluating the probabilities of all of these four, but just thinking about it that way convinces me that the right thing to do is to vote for only the wireless.
Well, Peter, I really didn't know where you were going, but that made a lot of sense. But
you like the answer, right?
No, it's not. No.
It's getting pretty mathematical on me.
I will say, I'm pretty sure we won't get both. That there's only 25 million to spread around the whole state. So getting both is a fantasy, I got to say. Pat, did we use up everything you wanted to say? You were in line.
If it's okay, I'll wait until some other people have a chance to ask their questions.
Okay.
And I do have a couple other comments.
Okay, I'll put you at the end. Okay, Jim, Brian, Dooley.
Both of the people are in the back of the room that have proposals. Are either one of you willing to tell why you couldn't make a deal?
Chuck?
Yeah, I mean, the basic thing is last week, or a little over a week ago, I approached both FLTG and Haefely TV suggesting we merge proposals. The reason is because the state has told us, we were at a meeting down in Binghamton, an information meeting. David Salway, the head of the program, was there, and he explicitly said that if there are overlapping proposals, you need to make a choice. Because if you don't care enough to make a choice, then we don't care because we got a lot of people who want this money. So you need to be able to, you have to rank them. You have to make a choice. He was very explicit about that. And that came from a Tompkins County resident. I don't remember who it was. There were seven of us there at this meeting. So that part's really clear. The second thing is there are no overlapping proposals that can be funded. That will not happen. That simply can't. So our biggest challenge is to make this the strongest possible proposal. FLTG did agree after a very short conversation and said, yeah, great, let's merge the proposals. Clarity is the lead applicant, so nothing would change from what you guys do. Haefely at the time wasn't interested. They may change. We're going to talk tonight, and they may choose to come in with us. But it doesn't change anything about the proposal if they do, because if we are able to merge it, that's great. I'm all for that. I've been pushing for that for at least a week and a half. So that's basically where it stands. And we are going to talk tonight, and maybe we'll do it.
Lee, did you want to say anything?
Yeah, it did seem very complicated to try to merge. There's quite a lot of money involved, but I'm willing to give it a try. I guess I'd make a suggestion to leave yourselves open somehow in the endorsement for that to happen. And then, you know, it's not a matter of... The cable and the wireless basically would have to be separated into each individual company's area, and you wouldn't actually have both. You'd have one in one area and one in another, and the costs are somewhat similar for the grant money.
Okay. I think this is also something about prisoners where being stuck together, you may have figured out that for 2 hours, there's a way to do this. All right, that's good news. Brian, Dooley, and Will.
Well, that was a bit of what I was hoping we were going to get to. And
you know, please, good luck to both of you and try to work that out. However, in absence of that, we need to have something that can be viewed by the state as Pat put it, shovel ready. And just we as legislators, forget this issue, just any issue that you want to talk about. Sometimes we have to make some choices, and you know what should govern all of us is what is the best decision that we can make for the benefit of the greater amount of people. That one is fairly obvious in this case.
Okay, thank you. Brian Dooley.
Well, I have several different areas I would like to address. I'm grateful that Jonathan reminded me of the correct technical word, propagation study. That's what first thing I want to ask about to Chuck Bartosz, the results of your propagation study. What percentage coverage?
Between 95 and it's actually coming out at 98%. To the state, I'm probably going to say 95 just to be safe. But there's 3,000, according to the state's latest numbers, there's 3,420 unserved households in Tompkins County, and we'll be serving basically 98% of those. We really should get that higher percentage.
That number that you quoted is
yes.
Not, it's bigger than the state originally started.
Yes, absolutely. The reason is I've been in close contact with the state for the last several weeks.
Yeah, thank you for what you did there.
Right. Well, basically, they disallowed 4G. I showed them the evidence of why a standard substandard user would cost $433 a month to do 4G. So they said, okay, yeah. And they took it out of all the state maps.
So a comment to Peter's prisoner's dilemma analysis did not include health questions as a confounding variable. So I'm going to get to health in a moment. Will mentioned health and seemed satisfied with the WHO 2006 handout. I paid a lot of attention to this over many years. Some of you may know Joel Ray locally, who also spent a lot of time on this issue. What I want to say is that within animal bodies, ours, the signaling systems use electricity. So it's not surprising that electrical energy in many forms has effects at the cellular level. And since 2006, there have been significantly more studies, nothing definitive, but the more you look at what's happening at the cellular level, the more concerned you get about the fact that we all live in a sea of radiation. So I don't think it's the triviality that I would like to be able to think. That does not matter really what we're going to vote on tonight, because we have our own public safety communication system. We are just bombarded. I was happy for Jim's question that got to what I also wanted to hear, why these folks can't work together. And I wondered, Pat, if you would accept this kind of language as a possible add-on. I'm looking at page 1 of the resolution. I'm going up to the third from the bottom, whereas that refers to Finger Lakes Technologies Group, and I'll read from there. Clarity will also engage Finger Lakes Technologies Group, Inc., a regional-based telecommunications provider, in the development and implementation of its broadband system, and will undertake discussion with Haefely TV, whose proposal covers a small subset of the Clarity Connect service area, but whose fiber optic and coaxial cable system may better serve the small number of homes in the topographically difficult service area.
Well, Jim is the mover.
Jim moved that.
Well, I had asked you if you could come up with language, and you're particularly sensitive, I think, to the workings of your group, so I offered it to you, but of course it's for Jim's consideration.
So I would say the operant words there are "will undertake discussion."
Yeah. Yes. Which is what I think we just heard.
Yes, I would accept that.
That's okay with you, Jim?
That's fine.
Okay. All right, so if you can get that to Kathy, that was a lot.
Yes.
Okay. All right, thanks, Julie. We've got Will, Leslin, and Pat.
So in the Chuck is here, maybe Chuck, I'm just sort of curious what it looks like when what you would have to build to implement your part of this system. Would it be analogous to cell towers? How many are we talking? And
yeah, go ahead.
I'm not quite sure who can call on me. So, the basic plan is we're covering 14 towns in Southern Cayuga County and Tompkins County, only the unserved areas. The plan calls for about 60 telephone pole-style towers. They're about 52 feet to 61 feet high, so a little bit taller than a standard telephone pole. And at the top are two poles, basically. They're dual diversity antennas is what they're called, omni antennas. So it's basically two poles that go, that are on top of the pole, basically. That's an average because it's 14 towns of a little less than 5 telephone poles per town. Plus, we're on 5 EMS towers, 3 in Southern Cayuga County and 2 in Tompkins County, and we're building one tower. So that's basically what the plan looks like, if that answers your question.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you. That was one of my questions, too. Leslin.
So I came in prepared to vote no on this proposal because on this resolution, because I thought that these were a couple of very viable businesses in Tompkins County, and I didn't feel fair supporting one over the other. I appreciate hearing that there's the possibility of working together, but I'm still not satisfied that I understand what that would look like, and if supporting this proposal as is would mean that one does not get a short change over the other in the interest of fairness. So is there anybody who can share with me and make me feel that this will work out just fine so that we get the service we need? No one knows at this point. Everybody's quiet.
You're saying, is it short?
From you all. I mean, you said that, you possibly can, but what does that mean?
I think I can fairly say, first of all, that neither one of us will agree to something we don't agree to. that much is easy. It's under discussion as to how we divide things up. The original proposal was that we would give Haefely Enfield, which is the primary operation, and just withdraw our stuff from Enfield. Then when the money comes in, we just simply turn it over to him for his part, whatever it is he's claiming as part of the proposal. The one thing we'll talk about tonight a little bit is if there's any part of Caroline that I don't want to do, so to speak, that he would want to do. One of the biggest problems is that if you carve out a dense part, there aren't that many dense parts left in Caroline. Mm-hmm. But if you carve out the dense part, the rest of it will never get served. And that's the mm-hmm. problem. You have to have a comprehensive, in my view, you have to have a comprehensive proposal. Same thing is true of the county, by and large. If the county does, if only part of the county were to get served, the chances of getting a future grant are pretty darn close to zero. There are not that many grants coming down the line, and 75% of the state is unserved mm-hmm. by the state's standards. So that's part of the reason why it's important to get something that really gets passes. But we'll work together to hopefully come up with something that can satisfy both, because that's all that matters. And I want to maximize the chances. That's why it's got to be really clear that this is a strong, supported proposal.
Thank you.
Lee, did you want to say anything?
Okay. I'm all right with that. Yep, we're mainly interested in Enfield, where we've got a lot of infrastructure now.
Thank you.
We can improve that infrastructure. We didn't really want another competitor in there with us. Caroline, if he can provide the service there, we don't feel that's a loss on our part. It's Caroline's hard for both of us. There may be some places I can fill in that are actually easy for us, where it's hard for him, and that would be all right. But, we rode up quite a lot of area, Coddington Road, White Church Road, that's very populated, but actually it's very hard for us to get to. So we wouldn't we wouldn't worry about losing that.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Okay, I've got Pat and then Mike, or Mike and then Pat. Pat, you want to be clean up hitter?
Okay.
All right, Mike.
I'm up?
Yeah.
I'd like to vote. I'd like to call a question.
I will second.
Let her talk. Please.
But if she wants to talk, you know, what can I do? I don't want to go through another five or six people at 8:30.
Fair enough. Anything else to add, Pat?
Yes, I just, in all of this discussion about who to support, I don't want to lose track of a couple things, but I really think it's important for you all to understand that the committee really felt was important about and really liked about the Clarity proposal. They listed these last evening. One thing is that it has a lower monthly cost for the end user. It contains a number of discount programs. One of the groups that the Clarity proposal partners with is our rural school districts, so that students of families of limited means who receive free or reduced price lunch would be eligible for a discount on their monthly service. Another partnership that's part of that program is with the Tompkins County Reuse Center, so that the possibility of getting rehabbed computers out there into the community for people that need them could happen through this grant. And those kinds of, I won't go through the whole list because it's late, but there are a number of factors that are part of this proposal that we felt as a committee really met the needs here in Tompkins County.
Thank you, Pat. Frank?
Yes. I just have one question. The discussion that has been going on in the last couple of minutes is the potential collaboration between the two entities to come eventually to talk to each other. How does that play out with, I think you said there are several municipalities that are endorsing one of the
yes.
proposals? Any you want to read the tea leaves a little bit about how that will be received by the municipalities that are voting on?
It won't make any difference in the application because Chuck will still be the primary. Clarity would still be the primary applicant. So instead of, in his application, instead of saying he's partnering with just the Finger Lakes Technology Group, it would simply add Haefely TV. And I can't imagine that would do anything but strengthen the support for it in the towns.
Peter?
Call the question.
All right, I don't think we need to vote on calling the question. I think we're ready to vote. Okay, we don't need to take that step. All right, with all that, great discussion. And all in favor of the revised Resolution H, please raise your hand. I think that's unanimous, which is also a good statement. And I want to say thanks so much to the committee and to the vendors here. I will just reflect on a meeting, I don't know, a few weeks ago when Pat and Paula brought, and I want to mention Paula too in this, a tremendous amount of work that she did, brought this to Joe and me and said, take a deep breath, there's this opportunity. We don't know if we can get anything done in the right time and in this, you know, on this time frame, but we'd like to give it a try. And I think we are, especially with news that you might be able to further collaborate, I think this is a fantastic opportunity. And if an application can actually go in and say, we're going to cover all of Tompkins County and plus a section in the next county to the north, I think this is really terrific. And I'm certainly going to enthusiastically, jump up and down for it at the council meeting. And of course, keep me informed of the latest before it goes to the council, so that I know all about what this looks like. Thank you all very, very much. Appreciate your leadership, Pat and Paula.
Thank you.
And everybody. Okay. Now, poor Graham is sitting there back. So we're going to go to. I would like Mike to take Resolution D on capital plan from capital plan review, and then for the funding, it would go to Jim for resolution. No, I'm sorry. C is Mike, and then D really actually came out of budget.
I'd like to move Resolution C, authorize an amendment to the 2012-2016 capital program to incorporate the renovation of the old courthouse for the purpose of accommodating the relocation of the county legislature at a cost of $1,200,000. That's resolution number 3661.
Thank you, Mike. Seconded by Jim. All right.
Do you want me to speak?
Well, there's the revised as...
I'm sorry. I was moving the one that was in my folder in yellow, which has the revisions recommended by Legislator Kiefer.
Well, that's not what came out of the committee.
Well, it says revised as adopted by the Budget, Capital, and Personnel Committee.
You can move that one. Okay. All right. Let's assume that's what you did, right? So everybody's got that? Okay. And this is what was adopted by budget.
And basically, okay, the revisions simply give a little more history of where we got to make the move to the old courthouse.
Okay.
May I speak for just briefly?
Absolutely.
And to say that in your packets, I think you have the list of the calculations, the base project, and the add-ons, which were all recommended by the Capital Plan Review Committee. The issue of the renovation of the basement was on a divided vote, but I think we all supported the idea of going ahead with the bonding at this point, the amendment of the capital plan and the bonding at the full $1.2 million, so that in the event we do go with all the add-ons, that we do not have to come back for another small amount of bonding. And so the final decision on the add-ons will not be made until we have bid the project and we see where they come in. If it comes in high, we may not be able to do some of them or all of them. If it comes in lower, we might be able to. And we know with the Human Services Building, the bids came in high, so we'll have to see.
And thank you, Mike. I'd like to ask Joe to talk about the report and conversation you had with Arel about the order of the alternates.
Only to confirm what Mike just said, that I did talk to Arel. I also talked to Jonathan and later to Graham about whether the batting order of the ad alternates is really, it binds us to that order of selecting them once the bids are in, and all agree that it does not. So we can choose the alternates that we would like to do after the bid comes in, regardless of the stated order of those alternatives.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Dooley.
That just makes me curious about who on our staff or consultant group will be reviewing the bids and recommending which the most responsive bidder is. Who will be doing that?
Normally it would be Arel.
It will be Arel, with aided by Holt. Okay. I'll be involved in it, and we'll bring it back to the committee so we can consult with the committee on the recommended total budget.
And whoever is doing that review will not give any added weight to the responder's response for alternate one.
Correct.
Graham, do you want to add something? Go ahead.
I was confused by this latest piece of information.
Use the mic.
Dooley, when I came before the committee, I was in error. I have to apologize that my information in working with the state was that order did matter, and it seems that that's agency specific. It's not the law of the land, and I should have realized that it didn't necessarily apply, and I think Jonathan was helpful in confirming that. So that's why we had that discussion, and I apologize for taking the time out of the committee for that discussion. That may come back once the bids are in and we have a better understanding of what the options are. So in that sense, it was helpful for me, but it may have been a bit premature.
Well, thank you all for making it clear.
Okay, anything else? Ready to vote. Mm-hmm. This is an amendment to the capital program, so we need 10 votes. But we don't, do we need a roll call? Okay. All in favor of Resolution C, the revised one, please raise your hand. That looks unanimous. Any opposed? That's unanimous. All right, great. Then let us go to Budget Committee, Jim, for the next one.
Yes, and we are looking at Resolution D, revised version, and it is a bond resolution authorizing the issuance of up to $1.2 million in serial bonds and notes of the County of Tompkins, New York, to pay a portion of the cost of a capital improvement project at the Old Courthouse at 121 East Court Street, and I would move that.
Seconded by Mike. All right. Discussion. Ready to vote. Oh, Jim?
Yes. I have not been a part of this discussion. I went to one meeting, and as the Capital Plan Review Committee, I'm going to support this, by the way, but I actually would have preferred oak tables and black chairs and a microphone at each site as opposed to desks. I was in the city council chambers recently, and it varied. I think they have great-looking tables and microphones, and it would have served the purpose for all of us, and we could not be accused of anything other than looking at a really fine oak table that could have been probably made locally. But I am going to support the project the way it's presently put together, but that would have been my choice if I could have made it.
Thank you, Jim. Brian?
And from time to time, we have special committee meetings, which we did have, to make a special decision, of which you weren't there. So, you know, sour grapes just don't cut it.
Well, thanks for that.
All right. Are we ready to vote? We need 10 votes on this, and this does need to be a roll call.
Mr. Robinson?
Yes.
Mr. Stein?
Yes.
Mr. Burbank?
Yes.
Mr. Dennis?
Yes.
Ms. Kiefer?
Yes.
Mr. Lane?
Yes.
Ms. McAsee?
Yes.
Mrs. McBean Claiborne?
Yes.
Mr. McKenna?
Yes.
Mr. Proto?
Yes.
Ms. Pryor?
Yes.
Ms. Robertson?
Yes.
The 12 ayes, 0 noes.
All right. We're getting some work done tonight. Thank you, Graham. Sorry that took so long. But it's not the first long meeting you've been to for Tompkins County, and I'm afraid won't be the last. So, let's see. I think we can go back to our actual batting order of the agenda. We have worn out all of our audience. So I think the next thing was my report. I put in on your desk, in your folders, the letter and the press release from the elected officials to protect New York, a new letter that we have sent to Governor Cuomo and out to the media. And what's interesting is that we have, we started in June, we announced this initiative in June with 280 signatures from 34 counties. We now have 442 signatures from 52 of New York's 62 counties. It includes 61 Tompkins County officials from Tompkins County. And I looked at the list the other night. I thought, well, if we want to get to 450, a nice round number, I could make 8 calls from just Tompkins County, but I didn't have the time for that. Anyway, I've already seen 3 media hits on it, and I think it's very exciting. We have we could talk a long time about what's going on with fracking in New York State, but I think the ground is definitely kind of moving in this whole thing, and I hope this initiative will push the governor a little bit further. We are in particular hoping that we get a meeting, an actual meeting, with the governor. I wanted to thank folks for the food that was donated to United Way through the Day of Caring. I talked to James Brown, the executive director, last night, and he said the food drive was extremely successful. He was very pleased. He actually said, you know, you sort of feel like, can people really afford to give more? And he said, yes, they did. We did. So thanks for your participation. If anybody is still watching on television at this point, I hope people know that you can still register to vote in the November election. Not at this hour, but Saturday, October 13th is the last day to register to vote, and it's votetompkins.com, 274-5522, if you want information. And just a final note, we're down three people tonight, and we all know Nathan's out shaking the trees in his congressional run, and we know that Kathy has had health issues, and everybody here also knows. But I just have to make a note, make a comment about Carol's accident. Well, accident's the wrong word. It was a crash. She was hit by a car in the Wegmans parking lot a week ago today. I was able to visit with her last night. She is in amazingly good spirits. I have been telling people, I told her I would just be so frustrated and angry, it wouldn't be possible. But she is flat on her back and will be for 2 months at least, and really very serious damage if she moves the wrong way or falls or whatever. So she would appreciate personal, you know, phone calls. She's energetic. You know, waving her hands, you know, as she does. So we had a great conversation, and she's happy to have visitors. Just give a call, and she's also learning what kind of support services do exist in Tompkins County, with home health and et cetera. She I think appreciates our best wishes, and would look forward to hearing from everybody. So, if there are no questions, that is my report. All right, Will.
Martha, I think it's important to note that I think our Board of Elections will be open on Saturday the 13th, which is they're not normally open on Saturdays.
That's right. Do you know what hours?
I assume it's normal. I don't know, actually. So, but I'm sure it'll be on the website.
Okay. So. Thanks, Will. Jim.
Martha, you mentioned the day of sharing for the United Way. I believe all of us got cards in our mailboxes,
right,
or something from... Anna, alert personnel. So there was a note in there about the amount of money that people are looking for from Tompkins County. So I just bring that up as, you know, take a look at those and do what you can do.
Yes, pay attention. It looks like this. Thank you, Jim. I was going to mention it. So we can all help with that. Thanks, Jim. County Administrator Joe Mariano.
Thanks, Martha. Pretty short report tonight. I think all of you got the email from me on Hanshaw. The eminent domain motion has been completed. I will tell you that we went from 97 parcels to begin with down to less than 10 that are affected by the eminent domain order. So there's good progress made in settling these. This does put us on the path, keeps us on the path for construction to begin next year, which is good, so we're back on that track. I'll be back to you in 2 weeks in executive session in your meeting. We will be beginning negotiations with the corrections union soon, so I'll be back to you in executive session to begin establishing parameters for those negotiations. And the last item on my list is the under the no good deed goes unpunished category. The Health Benefits Consortium has been notified by the State Insurance Department that it will be a subject of an audit. In its infancy, they are going to be here to audit, and it's a pretty oppressive exercise that we will be going through. It will probably take several months. The information they're looking for, if you read it, you would recognize it as something that they might do for a large health benefits insurance company like Excellus, as opposed to a little consortium. But we will work through it. I don't expect anything negative to come of it. You may learn something about procedure and the process, but I did want you to be aware that the state has advised that they will be starting that probably before this month is over. So that's my report.
Thank you, Joe. Any questions? Mike.
Joe, thanks for the good report about the eminent domain. I think Jonathan deserves a nod of thanks for all the work on that.
Absolutely. Thanks, Mike. Anything else? Jonathan Wood, county attorney.
No report.
Thanks, Jonathan. Finance Director David Squires. Okay, moving right along. Are there any resolutions to be added to or withdrawn from the agenda? Peter?
I have a question that I wanted to ask a couple of things below. The eminent domain hearings, what does that mean in plain English? Does it mean that we don't have to go to court anymore, that it's over as far as we're concerned with regard to the 10 properties?
An eminent domain proceeding in New York State is really like a two-step process. You have to ask the court basically for an order to put the properties in your name. That's process number one. That's what's been completed. That's the important part in terms of getting the project done. There's also a second part where people affected by the order or any of the property owners can bring a claim for additional compensation. I don't expect anyone to do that, but that is still potentially out there, but that doesn't affect our project in any way.
Thank you very much. That's a pleasure to hear.
Okay. Any resolutions to be added to or withdrawn from the agenda? Okay. I'll go through this really long consent agenda. If you want anything pulled, let me know, please. Resolution A, Resolution 3600, adoption of a revised administrative policy 011104, oaths of office. Resolution B, ID 3604, reducing work week for a senior financial investigator position in social services. Is there a motion for that consent agenda? Moved by Frank, seconded by Brian. All in favor, please raise your hand. Any opposed? That's unanimous. Thank you. So let's go back to Mike Lane, Capital Plan Review Committee, for your report.
Well, we did meet, and I'll try to keep this short, just to say if you haven't driven down by the Human Services Annex recently, you ought to drive by, and you can see some evidence of real construction going on there. To the best of my knowledge, it's on schedule, and when I went by the other day, there are windows out and canvases up, and they look serious about it. So that's good news. We have talked about the project for the legislative chambers. We have not picked the chairs yet, by the way. So stay tuned for that. It's looking like it's probably going to be early next year before we can actually move in. Probably in the revised schedule you may have seen, it's probably going to be in March. Unless we run into some difficulties we don't anticipate. We also looked at the 20-year plan, again, that Ed Marks has been working on, and that will not be a part of this year's budget as far as new money, likely, but it will require some money starting next year.
Okay. Any Pam and Peter?
Next year being the budget year for 2014?
Yes.
Okay. Peter?
I have a very important question. Will this plan include the plan for the new legislative chambers? Will there be a coffee machine that can have more than two people accessing it at the same time?
Peter, I think you should be our delegate to the vending committee. Of the county and bring that up. And this has not been brought up in any of our discussions, but hopefully there will be vending machines. If there aren't already over there, there would need to be. And I don't know about coffee machines. We haven't had one of those for a long time.
No, we have one now out there where we can get coffee, but there's only two people go into the room at once.
Oh, you mean a coffee pot.
Yeah, the coffee pot.
A vending machine. Okay. Sorry. There'll be a kitchenette, so that's already there. We'll probably be able to use that.
Okay,
and to distinguish, that's actually a broom closet. That's not actually anything like a kitchenette. So
it has a sink.
Has a sink, but it's not really a kitchenette. It'll be better for us.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks very much, Mike. Government Operations Committee, Dooley Kiefer, Chair.
I don't think there's a committee report. I have one resolution. Resolution E, number 3652, expressing appreciation to and disbanding the Tompkins County Independent Redistricting Commission. I'll move that with a change in the final page, which I'll tell you about. Do you want
okay.
me to?
Out of the committee or?
No, the change is not out of the committee. It's in response to additional information which affects the correct wording. So I'll move the original resolution and then tell you how we need to change it.
Okay, and seconded by Mike. All right, go ahead, Dylan. When
this was drafted, there's page 3 for this resolution in your packet, separate page. It's just the final resolve, which now will read further that the Tompkins County Legislature, having established an independent redistricting commission and adopted the commission's recommendation, set a standard that more counties and the New York State Legislature should recognize and emulate.
Okay, so
it shouldn't be a participle. I don't know.
Right, it says setting. You mean it should say set?
Yes.
My sentiments exactly.
Yes. Okay. So participles are sneaky. The reason this happened is interesting, so I want to just take a moment to tell
That's
you.
That's okay with you, Mike? Okay.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Don't want any dangly participles.
Go ahead, Billy.
Not painful, yeah.
We knew that Ulster County had done a charter revision. We knew that they had decided to institutionalize the existence of an independent redistricting commission in their changed charter. What I didn't know when I drafted this, but which Martha, in her thorough way, was sure was true, was that that Ulster County had actually appointed an independent committee in 2011, as soon as they had access to any census data, and that group came up with a plan which the legislature adopted in 2011. So they were way ahead of the curve. I guess they didn't have any problems with the census data. But you'll be interested maybe to know that their committee cannot consider the number of districts. That's left to the legislature. Their committee is given the number of districts and then has to look at it according to law. That's why we needed to change this. We cannot say we were the first in the state.
Thanks, Julie. And Karen confirmed that. So Karen made that call today. Any further discussion? And I will tell you, I signed certificates today for all the commission members, and those will go out, and I'll also be sending out a note, personal note. So.
And the three staff people involved.
Yes. All right. All in favor of that, with that change, Resolution E. That's unanimous. All right. Thank you, Dooley. Planning, Development, Environmental Quality Committee, Will Burbank, Chair.
Thank you, Martha. Planning Development has not met since our last meeting, but we will be meeting tomorrow at 3:30. Among the agenda items will be an update on the Biggs proposals. We'll be discussing but not voting on our procurement of electricity, and there have been some questions raised, which hopefully we'll flesh out a bit. We will be discussing the TCAD funding task force and how we're moving forward on that. And finally, we will be acting on a series of tourism grants. So if you are interested in any of those, we hope you will join us at 3:30 tomorrow. And that's my report.
Thanks, Will. Any questions? All right. Broadband Committee. Pat, is there anything else to say?
Just very briefly. The Broadband Committee will be meeting on October 22nd, our regular fourth Monday meeting date, 5:30, at the Tompkins County Public Library. The two main topics for discussion that day will be a review of the final the final copy of the report to the Park Foundation from our phone survey, and we will also start to strategize on if and how and when we will be able to move forward with some or all portions of the plans that have been put forward as part of these proposals in the event that we don't get the state funding. We still want to see if there's some way we can move forward.
Thank you very much, Pat. Julie.
Do you have any idea when the application that is going in may actually get an answer?
Yes, we're supposed to be learning by December.
End of December?
I don't know. Do you know, Martha?
No.
They just said December. It's due this Friday.
Thanks.
All right. Thanks very much, Pat. Budget, Capital, and Personnel Committee, Jim Dennis, Chair.
Thank you. Let me move right to the resolutions. Temporary reappointment of Finance Director, and I would move that. And the Finance Director, as all of you know, is David Squire.
Second by Brian. Any discussion?
Yes. Thank you for your 24 years of service, and welcome back.
If anybody out there in the public doesn't understand, they can call Jim. Any questions? Any other discussion? All in favor of Resolution Aye, please raise your hand.
Aye.
That is unanimous.
Item J, appropriation from contingent fund in the amount of $22,500, upgrade of financial system application software in the finance department, and I would move that.
Second by Leslin. Any discussion? Okay, that's a short-form roll call.
Mr. Robinson?
Yes.
Ms. Pryor?
Yes.
Anyone wish to be recorded as no? All right, that's unanimous.
The only other thing I will say to you is the budget forum is 7 p.m. in the old courthouse, second floor, next Tuesday night. October 9th.
Okay.
And that concludes my report. Thank you.
We have a budget meeting Thursday.
I'm sorry?
Yes. We expand the budget committee.
Oh, yeah, we
Thursday.
Have one of those also. that's tomorrow. Or Thursday.
Thursday.
Thursday at 5:30 here.
Okay. All right.
And
thanks.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks very much, Jim. Public Safety Committee, Peter Stein, Chair.
Yes. No difference from the last report. Our meeting will be tomorrow at 11 o'clock.
All right. Thank you. Workforce Diversity and Inclusion Committee, Leslin Duffy, Clairborn, Chair.
WDIC met on Wednesday, the 26th of September. One of the more important things that we were talking about at our committee is some proposed language to be included in our RFPs and RFQs. Just expressing the county's, the value that the county places in diversity and inclusion, and looking to those who respond to those to share with us their similar values or what they do about diversity and inclusion. And also just talking around how do we ask or get reports back from agencies and all nonprofit organizations who we fund around what they're doing in terms of diversity and inclusion. There's nothing concrete. We had a very good discussion, and there's more information to come as we try to just put together some language. It was interesting to us as we started to do some look-see at our proposals that we send out that many of them didn't have anything in them that reference diversity and inclusion. Some did, some did not, and for the most part, it's you know, one sentence that doesn't ask for much information. And lots of our respondents have been good about sharing what they do about diversity and inclusion and where it ranks in their business. So we're hoping to have some language, a county administrator and the director of our human rights office, and most likely Paula, we'll be working to try to come up with some language, and as well as what do we do about it. So it's not something that's a point system, you're going to rank here, you're going to rank there, but just really trying to let people know that this is a value we hold dear, and we're looking for those with whom we do business to do the same, similar to how we have language and all of it around our encouragement for people to pay a living wage. So we're going to continue that discussion. It was interesting that we have been hemming and hawing at it and going back and forth with it and started the discussion up again. And just today I got my email from the New York State Department of Environment and Conservation, sort of a EEO utilization plan for folks who are looking to apply to them for monies or who are getting funding from that department, that they are looking for an entire plan and what are you doing in terms of women and minority business programs and services, et cetera. So there are things that are probably going to be coming down the pike. So we want to be active and be ahead of these kinds of things as they come through. We are hopefully going to be bringing to our next legislature meeting, well, it'll come to personnel next, the diversity and inclusion policy to be included in our policy manual. Previously, it had already been adopted by this body. It was just a matter of getting it in the right format to be included in our manual. So that would be coming. And thanks to Paula for her work in making sure that it is in the appropriate format and language. Speaking of Paula, I do want to I heard you say earlier, mention her earlier, Martha, in terms of the work she's done with broadband. And I do want to take this opportunity to say that often there's a lot of work that Paula does that sometimes goes unnoticed. And more and more, the more I hear her name, the more I feel sort of compelled to remind everyone about how important she is to this organization and the things that she does. Some of the ideas or some of the research that she does or things that she knows that we should go after, and is always willing to turn something around in 24 hours very quickly, and not just any old thing, something of quality that we often either will get funding for or will get support for in a different way. So I do want to acknowledge she's not here. She's usually sitting over there, and thank her for her work in administration. Thank her for her work with WDIC. With her there, more things are moving along because there's somebody who's able to do some of the footwork who is an employee within the organization. So look for more to come, and definitely thank Paula for her work with this organization.
Thank you very much, Leslin. That's so true. Any comments or questions? All right, thank you very much. Health and Human Services Committee, Frank Proto, Chair.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The Health and Human Services Committee will be meeting next Tuesday at 3:30 officially. I just had a couple of announcements I wanted to make with regard to health-related issues. There's been no decision at the state level with the Special Planning Committee with regard to additional CHAZ. That is still in limbo. They're still considering applications. As a matter of fact, they've extended the deadline for any organization that had submitted an application to submit additional information, and now it's into November that they will consider special applications. Reminder for the board, any of the legislators that have an interest in attending the Strategic Planning Committee review, the Health Department is conducting a strategic plan input session for legislators next Tuesday. Everything's happening on Tuesday, 11 o'clock up at the Rice Conference Room. It's strictly for us, and Frank Krupa would appreciate it if you might call and let them know that you're interested in coming. The Board of Health is right after that, and then the Health Committee is right after that, and then Jim's budget session is later that evening. So bring a sandwich. It'll be a long day. And I wanted to announce that the Health Committee is scheduling 16 additional meetings to discuss moving the Health Department back to West Hill. Just wanted to see if you were awake. Thank you.
Could you give us the dates, please?
Kathy has them already logged. We checked your calendar, Peter, to make sure that they complied with your teaching schedule.
Well, that's kind of you. Thank
oh, hey, what are we in this for? Right.
Thank you, Frank. Are there any questions for Frank? All right. Facilities and Infrastructure Committee, Dooley Kiefer, Vice Chair, who is going to be doing double duty for a while. So.
Oh. There is no F&I report because you heard that at the last legislative meeting. The F&I committee is still meeting this Friday. The agenda was set before Carol's accident. But it's not meeting at its usual time of 9:45 due to member obligations that weren't known until recently. The meeting has been changed to 1:30 to 4 on Friday afternoon. You can see how dedicated the members are. So that's when we're meeting this week. Is there a resolution?
Yeah, there's a resolution.
Yes, there is.
And that went through budget today, but it's out of F&I.
Yeah, I was surprised it wasn't coming out of budget, but I will do it. It's the budget adjustment from the highway fund balance to spend money on, I shouldn't describe it, I should read it. Authorization to fund erosion mitigation / stream stabilization project, Six Mile Creek, Town of Caroline. Document 3673. I'll move it.
Second by Dave. Okay, any discussion? All right, this is a short roll call.
Mr. Robinson?
Yes.
Ms. Pryor?
Yes.
Would anyone wish to be recorded as no? Frank, is that a no?
No, it's an opportunity to make a comment.
Wait. We're all set. Nobody voted no. That's unanimous. Yes, sir?
I'd just like, on behalf of the town of Caroline, I'd like to really express an thank you to the committee, the facilities committee, Joe and Jeff Smith, for pulling this together so fast. You'll be pleased to know that the work is already done.
It is fast.
They have already completed in order to comply with the DEC extension on the permit. So a real big thank you goes out to the county staff.
I'd like to be recorded as a no.
Frank, that's why I was a little surprised that your hand went up on that. But that's great news. That's good. All right.
I would have liked to have seconded it, but that's
okay. Minutes of September 18th. Moved by Will, seconded by Jim. Any comments, questions? All in favor of the minutes of September 18th? Raise your hand, please. Any opposed? One opposed. That is 12. No, Peter's not here, so it's 10 to 1. Motion to adjourn? Moved by Pat, seconded by Will. All in favor? That's it. Thank you all. Good night.